Flight of the Arrow by Michael Davis. With John Bott as Frank Morgan.
Heathrow Ground Control, Fastjet 101, request dial up.
Fastjet 101, clear to start. Temperature plus 8.
Heathrow Ground Control, Fastjet 101, push back to stand, Juliet 07.
Fastjet 101, hold position. Fastjet 101, clear to push back.
Fastjet 101.
All set, Mr. Morgan.
Ready when you are, Trevor.
Pilots, stick of the wind.
Standby. Right, is the door lifted.
Start the timer.
Timer running.
Charger entering furnace.
Well, keep it coming, Charlie. Keep it coming.
Go clear of the furnace.
I'll get those hooks on. Come on. Get those hooks on.
Hooks on.
Stand clear. Right, all go.
Frank Morgan here.
Frank? Maitland. What's the position on the bicycle frame tubing investigation? The BTL Bremen people are here this morning.
Talk to Dr. Hellman. She has all the figures on this. I'm tied up with an aircraft inspector this morning.
Yes, all right. I'll talk to her. Who is the visiting inspector?
Jones of the aircraft inspection department.
So tell him the first of the FJ-101s leaves for Peking this morning.
I already have.
Fastjet 101, taxi instructions.
Fastjet 101, give way to Trident on apron. Get a holding point, runway 28 via taxiways 02 and 15. QNH 9998.
QNH 9998, Fastjet 101.
Fastjet 101, contact tower 118.4.
Tower 118.4, Fastjet 101. Heathrow Tower, Fastjet 101, ready for takeoff.
Fastjet 101, after landing 737, line up and hold.
Fastjet 101.
Dr. Hellman's here, sir.
Yes, all right. Get me Brian Matthews, will you?
Yes.
Ah, good morning, Dr. Hellman. Sit down. I won't keep you a moment.
Thank you.
If I don't keep things moving from left to right by mid-morning, I sink without trace. Did you see Frank's bright boy on television last night?
Yes, I did. I thought he did terribly well.
Oh, yes, he's a clever chap, all right. Have you met him?
Once, yes. He chaired an Institute of Science meeting in Birmingham a year or two ago. Frank was enormously proud.
Yes, I imagine he would be.
Brian Matthews for you, sir.
Oh, put him through. Excuse me a moment.
Yes.
Brian, the BTL Bremen people are in this morning. You technically liaised the material for this order. It might be a good idea if you sat in on this one. 11:30. Yes, yes, all right, yes. Yes, good man. This bicycle frame tubing complaint from Germany. We kept samples of the material, I believe.
Yes, we did. Oh, we needn't have done, because it was a perfectly straightforward commercial order. But Brian recommended that we use aircraft material designate, which meant that it was produced to an aircraft specification, requiring samples to be kept.
Good. At least now we have some of the original material to look at. When are you running the reappraisal tests?
This morning. In their presence, if they wish.
Now, how are you fixed? Will you be able to attend this meeting? Frank's tied up with an aircraft inspector, I believe.
Would you like me to send someone out to take over for him?
To be perfectly honest, Dr. Helmer, I'd rather you were there. Frank's great, he knows what he's talking about, but it does take him rather a long time to get his ball onto the green nowadays. You do it, okay?
Yes, 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 of course, if that's what you want. Mm.
And if I'm to make any kind of a showing at all, I better do something about shifting this headache. I'm as ragged as a ratter's hat this morning. Serves me right. Up half the night bung-hoeing with a Chinese trade mission celebrating the first of the 101s. Excuse me a minute. Laura, love, be an angel and rummage in your handbag for a couple of aspirins for me. Help me shift a headache.
Just a moment. I believe I've got some somewhere.
FastJet 101, clear for takeoff.
FastJet 101, rolling.
Well, when a project like this gets off the ground, Minister, I feel as though we designed and built the thing ourselves, rather than having contributed a modest handful of the necessary bits and pieces.
Yes, yes. Well, that's what any aircraft has to be, Mr. Saunderson. A conglomerate of bits and pieces, manufactured in umpteen factories up and down the country. All over the world, for that matter. No one can claim total credit. Truly a shared endeavor. No, no, she's airborne. Ah, good luck!
FastJet 101 airborne, passing 1,000 feet.
FastJet 101, contact terminal control 11206.9.
Terminal control 11206.9. London Terminal Control, FastJet 101, en route for Peking. Over.
FastJet 101, turn left on a 280. Cleared flight level 150. Call overhead, Midhurst Beacon.
Flight level 150, FastJet 101.
Thank you, Laura.
Go on. Say it for Dr. Hellman.
Say what for Dr. Hellman?
Long live the Queen of England in Chinese, like you did at 3 o'clock this morning.
Oh, dear.
It was well perfect, Dr. Hellman. Positively fluent.
God knows how she does it. She was in there at the death last night, sinking sake as fast as anyone would hand it to her. And here she is this morning without a dent in the paintwork. I'm a ruin, a crumbling ruin. Neither you nor Frank were there. How did you manage to avoid this particular massacre?
Well, Frank asked to be excused so he could watch his son on television, and I wasn't invited.
I see. Did you see the programme?
Yes, I did.
And how do you rate son Nigel? Is it all cerebral, or has he got fist as well as facts?
At a guess, I'd say he was strong-willed and hugely competent.
Tough enough to stand the crash-bang wallop of this game, do you think?
Why do you ask? Are we interested in him?
It's possible. There are certain stirrings at the moorings, shall we say.
Well, why don't you go along to the university this evening?
Hmm?
Well, Nigel's giving a lecture on silicone chip microcircuitry. See for yourself.
I might just do that, yes. Yes, thank you, Dr. Hellman. As always, you've been a great help.
Not at all.
By the way, we're sending Harry Anderson to Trondheim instead of Frank to look at this extruder project, if that's all right with you.
Does Frank know about this?
No, not yet. And quite honestly, I don't know how I'm going to tell him.
test us. Hang about, Arnold. I'm on the phone. Right. Let's say that again.
Can anyone tell me why I'm expected to carry this damn brake potentiometer around the works?
I thought this was the age of small is beautiful. This thing weighs half a ton and looks like Queen Victoria's hat box. Oh, no, I think it is Queen Victoria's hat box.
Yeah, immediately if not sooner. Leave it to me. Cheers. What have you got in there, a ferret?
You want to try using it, mate? The Galvo wanders around like a cow in a meadow.
Samples from the TV centre on their way down. Top priority. Okay. You know, the last time Frank sent that pot away for certification, they offered to embalm the damn thing.
You'll be careful with that potentiometer, young man.
Well, they say you built it to celebrate the Attlee government. Is that right, Frank?
It's one of the most accurate instruments in the works. You treat it with the respect it deserves.
Oh, dear.
What would you like to see next, Mr. Jones? Met a lot of people.
Met a lot of people who nicely, thank you, Frank.
Take the semi-continuous building.
Can you come in for a moment, Mr. Anderson?
Hello.
Do I detect a tinkle of ice in the lovely Rosemary's voice this morning? What's upset her then?
Now, she's been in with Maitland on this bicycle frame complaint. Maybe she got it in the neck for using aircraft material.
Oh, well. Let me see now. I've cleaned my teeth and I've darned the hole in me knickers. Me vest was clean on yesterday. I wonder if she'll want me naked.
You wanted to see me, Dr. Hellman?
Take these chits to personnel. And they will give you travel vouchers and some ready cash. We're leaving for Trondheim first thing tomorrow morning.
Well, I thought Frank was going to Norway.
Mr. Morgan is needed here. Hand over whatever you're doing to Gordon Harkness and Peter Jackson. If they have problems, refer them to me. The technical manager will brief you on what is expected of you before you go. Is something bothering you, Mr. Anderson?
Look, don't misunderstand me. I'm the last man to turn down a couple of weeks in Norway. But are you sure you're doing the right thing? I mean, Frank's the extruder expert, not me. What I know about extruders isn't going to hurt anyone.
Then before what you do not know does hurt someone, Mr. Anderson, I suggest that you go to Norway and achieve whatever enlightenment you can. That will be all. Send Mr. Harkness in to me.
Yes, Dr. Helm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
After you.
Thank you.
Yes, Helen, what is it?
The bicycle frame test pieces have arrived from the blood bank, Dr. Hellman. Am I to get on with the retest?
Not yet, Helen. Our visitors might want to see the test runs. In the meantime, you can give Peter Jackson a 12-inch sample length and tell him that I want him to stress relieve it in the lab furnace for 3 hours at 175 degrees centigrade. I shall want a temperature time graph, if you please.
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
How much of it is obstructionism and how much is a genuine concern for the men's welfare, it's impossible to say, but you saw for yourself, he's like a rock.
Oh, indeed.
Well, there's the cycle frame test pieces, young lady.
Yes, Mr. Morgan.
Have you completed the reappraisal test yet?
No, not yet. We're waiting for the BTL Bremen people to arrive in case they want to see the tests carried out. Oh, if that's all right with you.
Yes, yes, of course. The left hand must always know what the left hand is doing in this business. What say you, Mr. Jones?
Indeed, indeed.
Carry on, Helen.
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
You kept samples from a commercial order?
We used a 3034-based alloy and produced it to aircraft specifications.
Mm.
The samples were called for, samples we kept. As simple as that.
There you are, you see. The old aircraft material blood bank has its uses after all. Good for you.
If Mr. Jones has finished his tour of inspection, Frank... Mr. Maitland wants to see you.
Well, we just have some spectrograph frequencies to look at. I won't keep him waiting a moment.
It's about the Trondheim visit. I think perhaps you'd better attend to it. I'll show Mr. Jones the spectrograph results.
Yes, I see. I'm off to look at an extruder plant in Norway, Mr. Jones. Some last-minute briefing, I expect. Do you mind if I leave you in Dr. Hellman's capable hands?
Not at all. Go right ahead, Frank. Mustn't keep the top brass waiting.
Are we lunching?
Oh, I'm afraid not. I'm expected across at GKN.
Well, you'll have to organise things a little better next time. Nice to see you, Mr. Jones.
You too, Frank. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Dear old Frank, we've been friends for many years.
You've known him since the war, I believe.
Oh, before, my dear, before. We were at university together, Frank and I.
You want to see some spectrograph results?
Oh, please.
Follow me.
It's a day for celebration, Frank tells me. First of the FJ-101s leaves for Red China this morning. How many more do we have in the pipeline? Do you know?
12, I believe. The promise of more to come.
London Terminal Control, Fastjet 101.
Fastjet 101.
Fastjet 101, London Terminal Control. Flight level 150, request flight level 400.
Fastjet 101, cleared flight level 400.
Flight level 400, Fastjet 101. London Terminal Control, Fastjet 101, overhead, Midhurst speaking.
Fastjet 101, say again.
Fastjet 101, overhead, Midhurst beacon.
Fastjet 101, London Terminal Control, over, out.
Fastjet 101, over and out. This is all yours, Andrew. Take her away.
Show him in. Frank, come in and sit down.
Thank you. We have some coffee, please, Laura.
Yes, sir.
Have you finished your inspection with Jones' AID?
And Dr. Hellman is crossing the T's and dotting the I's for him right now.
He rates you very highly, Frank. Are you aware of that?
Oh, I know that he thinks well of us as a factory. A clean bill of health for 30 years is something we have every right to be proud of, I imagine.
I mean you personally. He thinks very highly of you, as a man and as a technician.
Well, thanks for telling me. One cannot deny it's nice to know when one is appreciated. But I'm afraid it's simply a matter of being able to rely upon people to do what they're supposed to do. Without us, we wouldn't survive for 5 minutes.
Very true. Ah, coffee, splendid. I'm just beginning to assume human form once more, Frank. I was busy promoting East-West relations last night. I got up this morning feeling like death itself.
White with no sugar, Mr. Morgan, am I right?
Thank you, Mrs. Williams.
Yes. Did you see this man's clever son on television last night, Laura? Lording it over the young scientists of the year?
I did. He's very handsome.
A double first.
Researching into atomic absorption at Oxford on a Fulbright scholarship.
He's doing very well for himself one way or another, Frank. You must be very proud of him.
Yes, we are. Very pleased with him indeed.
How old is he?
27.
27, good Lord.
Will that be all, Mr. Maitland?
Yes, thank you, Laura. Here's my own boys, as thick as two short planks. Drives a dumper truck. But still, as long as they're happy, eh?
Indeed, indeed.
Well, I sometimes think I'd be a damn sight happier driving a dumper truck. He makes more money than I do. Yeah. Has your boy any leanings towards industry, Frank?
No, I'm afraid not.
Usual story.
Well, if you watch your old dad going slowly deaf and blind through working in a black clanging hole for 40 years, then you can't be blamed for not wanting to join him, can you?
Yeah, still, it's a pity. There's a damn good job about to be advertised.
Yeah?
Yes, we're setting up a new department. Government-sponsored, needless to say. A £3 million initial investment of which the government will pay half.
What area of activity?
Oh, research, new developments. Suit your young Nigel down to the ground, I'd have thought.
He has his sights set in other directions, I'm afraid. Still, I'll mention it to him. Thank you for telling me about it.
Well, it's worth a try. And you never know with young people, do you? Today's hate, tomorrow's love, as they say. By the way, we're sending Harry Anderson to Trondheim instead of your good self, Frank. Is that all right with you?
Anderson?
Yes, I told Dr. Hellman earlier on. Didn't she mention it to you?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Anderson is a wire drawing and heat treatment man.
Well, you know how it is. The faceless ones pull a few strings and we find ourselves hopping from one foot to the other, not knowing whither or why.
Anderson knows nothing about metal extrusion.
Exactly. Precisely the point being made. The lords of the manor have decided that we have too much information stored in too few heads. Where's it all written down, Frank? I mean, where can I refer to your 40 years of experience if you fall down and break a leg? What happens then, Frank? We wouldn't be so much eyeless in Gaza as legless in Stoke Newington.
Does Anderson know that he's replacing me on this Trondheim visit?
Yeah, I imagine so. Dr. Hellman would have had to organize him out of the laboratory.
And if I disapprove of your choice, what then?
Oh, Frank, let's get one thing straight, shall we? It was not my choice. This was an edict, a directive. I had no say in the matter.
Am I or am I not head of the technical department?
Yes, you are.
Then why was I not consulted about this?
Frank, believe me, there was simply no time for protocol. Saunderson picked up the telephone and said, we are sending Anderson to Trondheim, arrange it. I arranged it. What else could I do? How old are you, Frank?
You know damn well how old I am.
You're 61. It's time to start taking things a little more easily. Don't be so locked into the thing anymore. Relax and enjoy life, why don't you?
I enjoy my work, Mr. Maitland. I'm proud of my department. And Harry Anderson is a stupid choice of a man to send to look at an extruder plant. Now, maybe you didn't want my opinion, but now you've got it. May I return to my office? I have work to do.
Frank, don't be like this. We're old friends. We mustn't quarrel, you and I.
Sure.
All right now.
Not a lot of point in being anything else, is there? God nods, we fall. It's as simple as that.
You're not falling. You're passing up one unimportant visit to Norway, that's all. Oh, come on. Let the others sweat for a chain. Let go of the reins a little. That's all you've got to do.
Sure.
And don't forget, if that boy of yours shows the slightest interest in what I've told you, you tell me, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Maitland.
Yes, sir?
Let me know the minute Saunderson gets back from Heathrow. I want to see him.
Very good, sir.
You've told Frank Morgan that he's not being sent to Trondheim.
I have.
How did he take it?
Not very well. He was extremely annoyed, as a matter of fact.
And Dr. Hellman, how did she react?
Oh, predictably. You know how protective she is towards Frank at the best of times.
Well, now, since we've started this particular ball rolling, we'd best see the thing through. Mrs. Crawford.
Sir?
Would you ask Dr. Hellman to come in, please?
Yes, sir.
What did you offer by way of an explanation?
Too much information in too few heads. Not a very strong argument, but enough to hold them until they get the rest of it from you.
Did you soften him up by talking about his son, as I suggested?
Yes, I did. Incidentally, he's lecturing at the university here this evening. Are you interested? Might be a good opportunity to make the first approach.
Wednesday. No, nothing on this evening. It might be a good idea at that, Philip.
Well, we'll both go. See what we're buying.
Splendid.
How did you get on at Heathrow? Did the plane get away all right?
Yes, right on time. As a matter of fact, it was all rather moving. I had no idea the Chinese were so emotional.
Dr. Hellman is here, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Crawford. Ask Dr. Hellman to come in, would you? Let me do the talking, will you? Take your lead from me, all right?
Yes, right.
Ah, there you are, Dr. Hellman. You come along in and sit down.
Thank you.
Philip and I were just discussing Frank's reaction to the news he's not being sent to Trondheim. It seems the old lad's quite upset.
You find that surprising?
Well, regrettable, not surprising.
Well, I'm completely at a loss to understand why you should do such a thing. Oh, I know such decisions are never taken lightly, but was it necessary to be quite so brutal about it?
You're quite right, Dr. Hellman. Such decisions are never taken lightly, nor are they made overnight. This particular report has been with me for the past 2 weeks. It's a consultant's report on restructuring, and it runs to some 200,000 words. Union inspired and management approved, the company agreed to abide by its findings and to take cognizance of recommendations made. No one was excused. We were all interviewed and examined and analysed, and some of us were weighed and found wanting, I'm afraid. You yourself came out of it rather handsomely, which is no more than one would expect. But there are others who don't fare quite so well. Frank is among them.
The report presumes to criticise Frank.
Well, not for any lapse or failure, you understand. Far from it. I mean, they see him as a hard-working, conscientious administrator. No, what does concern them is his inability to relate in scientific terms with that which is going on around him. Well, they see Frank as being so far out of touch as to be dangerous.
Oh, what utter nonsense. Frank Morgan has his finger on every pulse beat in the department.
It's one thing to read a pulse, Dr. Hellman. Understanding the disease which upsets its rhythm is something else entirely, don't you agree?
Frank did his degree in 1937. A whole new scientific vocabulary has evolved since then.
You make it sound as though the man hasn't opened a textbook from that day to this. Frank has done more than anyone to try and keep up. If this is an example of your consultant's ability to assess, Mr. Saunderson, whatever else they have to say shall be treated with the utmost caution.
They do speak very well of you, my dear.
I have long since ceased to be flattered.
The idea isn't new to us, Dr. Hellman. We've been aware for some considerable time that Frank is on a bit of a wobble. Now that it's been stated by an outside authority, we have no alternative other than to act.
Frank relies entirely upon you and the bright young men he has working under him for his day-to-day decisions. As head of department, he should understand each and every process as though he himself invented it. And this he cannot do, Dr. Hellman. The report stresses the heavy public responsibility this company carries and underlines the need that a technically competent person be responsible for all decisions made.
I am prepared to accept full responsibility for whatever happens within the department from now until Frank retires in 4 years' time. I am willing to sign papers to that effect if it will help you to see your way through this problem.
The report recommends that Frank be moved away from the position of ultimate responsibility and that you be made head of the technical department, Dr. Hellman.
If you try to implement that recommendation, Mr. Saunderson, I will have no alternative other than to resign.
Even if it's Frank himself who asks you to take over from him?
How can you possibly remove him as head of the department without injuring him?
Are you prepared to leave that side of it to Mr. Maitland and myself?
Frank is in no way to be humiliated or injured.
You cannot believe we'd wish to injure this splendid man so late in his career. Come now, Dr. Hellman. If I were free to explain the plan we have in mind, I'm certain you'd most readily agree. But until I obtain board approval, you'll have to trust me. Will you do that?
Very well. As long as it is clearly understood that should Frank feel in any way ill-used in this, then I shall not hesitate to resign.
I'm perfectly happy with that. What say you, Philip?
Yes, fine. I see no problem.
Well, thank you for your time, Dr. Hellman. I'm sorry if we caused you any anxiety or concern.
Not at all.
Well, we are meeting with the BTL Bremen people in, well, just a few minutes. Perhaps you'd like to go and collect your papers.
Yes, of course, if you'll excuse me.
Right, we'll join you in the conference room. And thank you, Dr. Hellman.
Gentlemen.
Well, Philip, what do you think?
I wish I had a woman who thought half as much of me.
I wish I deserved to be thought half as much of.
The difficulty, of course, is going to be persuading Frank to cooperate.
You leave Frank to me.
Pay particular attention to their ram speeds. Note the impact pressure and whether or not it's a constant. And I want to know whether or not they use any form of superheat on their dummy blocks. You got that, Harry?
Well, I'll do my best. Thanks for trying to put me in the picture, Frank. God knows why they're sending me.
It's the best way to learn, my boy, to be thrown in at the deep end. Now, watch their take-up stands operating. Find out whether they're taco-oriented or working on a servo system similar to here.
Hang on, I'd better write all this down.
And for goodness sake, ask questions. If there's anything you don't understand, ask for an explanation.
Right.
And do as you're doing now. Write everything down. I shall want a report 5 miles long when you get back. We go back to my office. I'll give you my notes on commission, Mr. Bullock.
That's right.
And you read them through before you go. You'll know a bit more about extruders than you do now. Come on.
Frederickstad Oceanic Fastjet 101.
Fastjet 101, Frederickstad Oceanic.
Fastjet 101, 450 west, 60 north, heading 240, flight level 23000 at 800 knots. ETA anchorage 2300.
Fastjet 101, Frederickstad Oceanic, roger.
It'll take a bit of wading through, since these notes represent 18 months of commissioning work and production trials. You've got the rest of the afternoon and all of the night, haven't you?
God, Frank, I'll never get through it.
Of course you will. And one of the biggest problems we came up against here was air from the compression chamber being forced into the metal and then exploding as it came through the die.
I want to know what answers they have for this at Trondheim, okay?
Yeah, all right.
Excuse me, Mr. Morgan.
Yes, Helen, what is it?
The reappraisal results on the cycle tubing are complete. Dr. Hellman's waiting for them.
Dr. Hellman's in a meeting with the BTL Bremen people at the moment. Put the figures on her desk. I'll see to it that she gets them as soon as the meeting's over.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Morgan, I found this commercial works order wrongly filed when I was raising the material this morning. It was with the AID orders.
What material is it?
KT-608.
Yes, understandable, I suppose. It's an AID equivalent.
Shall I file it where it belongs?
Please, if you would, my dear.
Yes, sir.
Look, Frank, are you sure you don't mind handing all this information over to me?
Well, we work for the same company, don't we? Kick the ball in the same direction.
All the same, an awful lot of work has gone into this.
I'll let you into a secret, Harry, shall I? My son is lecturing at the university here tonight. Well, now that I'm not going to Trondheim, I'm free to go and listen to him, aren't I?
An input protection network of matched diodes and non-inductive resistance loops which enables the signal to float between BBC and ground. Static access memories are referred to as SAMs, and in this example consist of an 8-bit bidirectional data bus providing 12 address lines, 4 read-write control circuits, and a constant scan self-audit program alarm. Being silicon gate motivated, the control and interrupt lines can be programmed simultaneously for up to 4 control modes. The use of non-volatile memory arrays enables the range of working parameters to undertake such complex tasks as the monitoring of carbon diffusion in steel in sealed quench furnaces, producing an overall energy saving of up to 25%.
Extraordinary behaviour, it seems to me. First you're going to Norway, then you decide to send somebody else.
Was it absolutely necessary to make it so patently obvious to everybody that you hadn't understood a word of what Nigel had been talking about? Couldn't you have stayed at home and read a book or watched television? And I thought your remark, Frank, when Professor Hodgson asked you if you favoured the Brightford or Kestner theories, that you were a tit man yourself, was in the worst possible taste. I was thoroughly ashamed of you. I'm sure Nigel was too, weren't you, dear?
It was quite funny. People did laugh a lot, didn't they? Here, give me a coat, Dad.
At, dear, yeah. Not with. There's a world of difference.
Tit as in titanium, my dear. I really thought everyone was on that kind of wavelength.
You're priceless, you really are.
Anyway, it isn't true to say I didn't understand any of what Nigel had to say. Not all of it, by a long chalk, but some of it, which is a lot more than can be said for you and a couple of hundred like you who pretend to understand everything and in fact understand not a damn thing.
At least we don't parade our ignorance like a banner.
I enjoyed your lecture, Nigel. I thought you spoke well and with great authority. I was glad that I was able to be there.
And I was glad to have you there.
Thank you.
Oh, really? You too? I'll go and make some coffee.
Lovely. Anchorage approach. This is Fastjet 101 for zone joining instructions.
Fastjet 101, Anchorage approach. Pass your details and route.
Fastjet 101, 30 miles east, heading 030, flight level 50, IMC London to Peking, estimating zone boundary 20 GM at 05200 knots. Over.
Fastjet 101 remains outside controlled airspace. Time check 50.
Fastjet 101, roger, out.
And it's a £3 million government-sponsored project. Brand new department researching into new methods and techniques. You interested?
I can't be, can I? I told Saunderson I'm committed to the Fulbright Scholarship. And it's not really my scene, is it?
Oh, I'd have thought it might have suited you quite well. Pure research, unlimited cash flow, a short hop from the boardroom. Seems like a very good opportunity to me.
If it's such a marvellous opportunity, why don't you put in for it yourself? God knows you've been there long enough with little or no recognition. At least you'd retire on a salary worth calling a salary.
Oh, it's out of my league, I'm afraid.
Most things are, dear, aren't they?
Fastjet 101, this will be a beacon approach, runway 26. The weather 220 degrees, 10 knots. Visibility 3 kilometers in light snow. 6 OKTAS at 800 feet. QNH 1014, ASV 1013.
QNH 1014, QFB 1013, FastJet 101.
FastJet 101, clear for straight in approach. Report established, ILS.
Wilco, FastJet 101. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Anchorage approach. This is FastJet 101. We have an explosion. Rudder response nil. We're falling. We're falling.
Peking yesterday morning has crashed in Alaska. Do we know what happened, Philip?
Eyewitness reports tell of the plane disintegrating as it made its final approach to Anchorage Airport.
Do we know what the position is? Do we have material on this particular aircraft?
The only people who can tell us that are the manufacturers. We shared the tender for stress bars and rivets with two other companies, so that gives us a 2-to-1 chance of not being involved. Frank, how many works orders have we raised so far on this contract?
3, possibly 4.
Well, first thing in the morning, get to it, eh? No matter whether we're involved or not, run your lab checks as though we are, okay? If there are any questions from AID Jones, we'll have our answers ready and waiting.
I'll do better than that. I'll turn in and run the checks now.
Good man. Ring me if there's anything untoward.
Right. I've got to go to work.
What are you going to do?
Check our procedures and lab figures for the material we supplied to the people who built the aeroplane. Rerun the tests.
Can you do that?
Oh, yes. We keep samples of everything we put into an aircraft. We're not down.
Hello, Frank. I thought I heard something. What are you doing here at this time of night?
Good heavens, Harry. Haven't you got a home to go to?
Oh, I've been mugging up on the extruder thing for tomorrow. I was about to pack it in, as a matter of fact. My eyes are beginning to revolve like Catherine wheels. Well, what brings you back to the lab at 2:30 in the morning?
Now, the plane that set out for Peking yesterday crashed in Alaska.
Well, what happened? Do we know yet?
No details. Something went wrong as it approached Anchorage Airport, apparently.
Anybody hurt?
First report says no survivors.
Oh, great.
So, here I am. About to run the rule over every whipstitch and shirt button we have so far shipped on this contract.
Well, can I give you a hand?
Oh, you go home and get some sleep. You've got a long, hard day in front of you. Well, I'll be through here in next to no time. Nothing new in this for me. I've done it many times.
Oh, I'd rather you than me, old son. Your kind of responsibility, I could do without.
It'll come your way one day if you remain in this industry long enough.
Yeah, a good argument for getting out.
Hmm?
Well, this stuff doesn't know we exist. The metal, I mean. We spend our days fretting and worrying about it, trying to make it do things it doesn't want to do. And all the time, it's got the terrifying ability to just, let us down. Bring aeroplanes tumbling out of the sky. Killed a man who are daft enough to fly the damn things. Yeah. It's not for me, Frank. I can't see myself spending the rest of my life at this game. I'm strictly a non-lethal person. You know what I mean?
Then you should resign. You should get out. You obviously have no right to be here.
You're probably right. I'll see this extruder thing through and then I'll think about moving on. Well, you sure I can't give you a hand?
No, you go home and get some sleep. You're going to need your wits about you tomorrow.
Right. Well, I'll see you when I get back from Trondheim.
Don't let them bamboozle you, that's all.
I won't. Good night, Frank. Thanks.
Good night, my boy. Take care of yourself. Now, let me see. Heat treatment printout spot on. Perfect cold junction. Material into the water in 46 seconds. That's all right. And that's all right. And that's all right.
Things don't change much around here, do they?
Well, hello, Nigel. What are you doing out of bed? Did I disturb you as I came in?
No. I heard the telephone go at whatever time and you trundle off to work. I've been awake ever since.
It's not working, I suppose. Simply not tired.
Join me.
What have you got?
Whiskey and water.
Yes, all right, just a splash.
Help me to sleep, perhaps. One of my earliest childhood memories is of the telephone ringing in the middle of the night. You beetling off to fix some furnace or other. Have they still got you in that caper? I'd have thought you'd have organised someone else onto that by now. And what was it tonight? Furnace out of control? And the extruder?
I gave all that up years ago. There was an aircraft down somewhere in Alaska. The telephone was Maitland telling me about it. I've been checking the locks on the stable door, so to speak.
Oh, I see. Everything all right?
Yes, fine. We run a pretty tight ship. At least we try to. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Now, it's a year or two now since the last time we were involved in this sort of thing. I used to take it in my stride. All my day's work, but now...
It worries you.
Well, I'd say it makes me think. The old confidence isn't there anymore, I suppose. It takes a thing like this to uncover the weakness. Your lecture didn't help, of course.
My lecture? In what way did my lecture not help? It wasn't about the stresses and strains to be found in aircraft. It wasn't your subject. Why should it be in help?
Because what your mother said was right. I hardly understood a word you said.
Oh, come on. The furrow wasn't being ploughed very deep, now was it?
Well, it makes it even worse. You deliver a lecture you consider suitable for students and the wives of university professors, and I can scarcely understand a word of it. Indeed, I have cause to think. I didn't send Harry Anderson to Norway so that I could be free to attend your lecture, Nigel. The company sent him instead of me because they knew I wouldn't have a clue about the control system, which is silicon chip microcircuitry. Your subject, my boy, not mine. This is why they're after you, all part of the brave new world, I'm afraid.
You're much too hard on yourself. If I sit and listen to a neurotomist propounding nervous diseases, then I'm not going to understand a great deal of that either, am I?
Nigel, if I am to be completely honest with you, I must confess that after 40 years as a working metallurgist, I feel like a novice. Scientific development has gone roaring by me and I'm left floundering. I'm appalled by my own ignorance and I'm disgusted with my failure to do anything about it. Oh, I've tried. I've read as much as I can, as hard as I can. Language is beyond me. I'm left clutching at the straws of an obsolete technology. Your lecture, well, now this plane crash has brought it home to me as never before. I am alone and I'm old and I don't know what to do about it.
Let me help you. It really isn't all that difficult.
No, it's too late for that. My brain is rusty from years of relying on other people to do my thinking for me.
Well, if that's how you feel... And you've got 4 years left, you'll just have to cruise them, won't you? After all, this isn't a new situation, is it? This is how it must have been for some time.
That's too dangerous. Once a thing like this is faced up to and admitted, then something has to be done about it.
What can you do about it?
I can resign.
Have you talked this over with Mother?
Not yet. And I don't intend to. She'd be dead set against me doing any such thing, and this is one occasion when I can't afford to let her have her own way. So not a word, eh? Let it be my little surprise. All right?
All right. Only for God's sake, let me go back to college before you do anything about it.
It's a deal. Oh, I'm for bed. It'll soon be time to get up and have a big day ahead of me tomorrow. Thanks for listening to my tale of woe.
Well, just don't do anything hasty now. I'm sure it's not nearly as bad as you make it sound.
We'll see.
Over here with that lifting gear, Mac. Yeah, there's something under this lot. It's either seat fabric or a man's jacket.
Okay, hang on there.
Hey, now what you doing now? Left of it with your hook. That's it, easy now. Easy. You know what I dream about?
What?
Air conditioning. When I die, I'm going to have an air-conditioned coffin with a neon light and a transistor radio playing pop music all the time.
We hear.
There's no air where I live. Even the mice sleep with their heads out of the holes. And the guy upstairs, thump,
thump, thump on the ceiling all the time. Do I complain about his rotten pup peeing over my tomato plants? I do not. So why should he object to me listening to pop music? Come on, barking. It's so small I have to clean the teeth up and down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Test house. Hang about, Marvel. Can't hear yourself think. Right. Give me another guess. Yes, good morning, sir. Yes, he is here. He's up on the factory floor. Can I put a shout out for him? Yes. All right, sir. Yes, I'll do that. Hide away you go, old
pumpkin.
Come in.
Excuse me, Dr. Hellman.
Oh, yes, Gordon, what is it?
Mr. Saunderson was on the telephone a moment ago asking for Frank. As soon as he comes back to the lab, he wants to see him.
Yes, all right, Gordon. Whilst you're here, there's a problem I want you to look at on pacemaker number 49.
Huh?
The material is pulling down onto the reel and inspection reports die line. Will you move on to that straight away, please?
Yes.
And would you check back with me as soon as you've cleared it? Production of chasing the releases.
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
The die box temperature is critical. Watch out for it.
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
Hey, if you want me to.
Oh, no, it'll speed things up if I tell you and you tell Frank. But it's all right with you, Dr. Hellman. I'm spinning rather like a top at the moment.
Yes, of course. What have you managed to find out, Mr. Jones?
I talked with McEwen Aerospace. Well, there's quite a flap going on out there, as you might well imagine.
Mm.
Until specific areas of interest emerge, they'll comment in general yes and no terms only. Yes, your material was used in the FJ-101. One consignment of stress bars and one rivet order.
Can you give me works order and batch numbers, Mr. Jones?
No, they're not prepared to dig any deeper than that at the moment. Mm. Dozens of companies like yourselves are after them, all wanting to know who has what, where. In your case, we can say, yes, your material is amongst the wreckage of the aeroplane, but that's all I'm able to tell you at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I'll tell Frank.
I'll keep you posted of any developments. Goodbye, Dr. Hellman.
Goodbye. Damn.
Number, please.
Would you turn on for Frank Morgan, please?
Certainly, Dr. Hellman.
Yes, but what do you think, Frank?
I went through every single release note last night and everything's in order. Tensile strengths, proof stresses, elongations, everything right on the middle of specification. We can do no more.
So, in the unlikely event of us being asked to show the books, everything is exactly as it should be.
Exactly as it should be.
Good. Saunderson's been chasing you. Wants to be put generally in the picture. Will you take these figures in with you to reassure him, do you think?
Oh, I don't think so. Personal involvement isn't something he craves, is it?
Not really, no. Well, you best get on with it. Is there something else, Frank? There's something I want to look at in spectrography.
I'd like your advice, Dr. Hellman.
My advice, Frank? What about?
I intend to resign as head of technical department.
Oh, why on earth should you? Oh, surely not this business of Trondheim. That's hardly a resigning matter now, is it?
Well, it's part of it. It's not the reason, but it's part of it. Tell me, Dr. Hellman, did you manage to grapple with the substance of Nigel's lecture last night? Did you leave the lecture theatre knowing a little more about silicon chips and microcircuitry?
I thought he spoke brilliantly. You have an extremely clever son, Frank, and you have every reason to be very proud of him.
Thank you. But if he had delivered his lecture in Serbo-Croat, I would not have understood it less. Oh, I've known for some time how out of touch I am, but last night made me realize how wide the gap is between myself and the technology of today. Oh, I'm fine at nuts and bolts metallurgy, the hope and grope science of the 30s, but I really have very little understanding of the true scientific process of my own department anymore. Oh, I shall resign, but my problem is when to do it. Do I tell Saunderson and Philip Maitland of my intentions now, or do I wait until this business of the air crash is cleared up?
You ask for my advice. It's this. Do nothing and say nothing.
Well, how can I do that? I'm really not
oh,
up
Frank,
to it anymore.
Trust me. It would not be in your best interest to resign now. I can't explain. Just trust me.
No, I don't understand.
All right. Look at it this way. We are in the middle of a small crisis. You are in charge, and in the middle of it all, you offer your resignation. Now, how would that be interpreted? Ask yourself. Put yourself in Saunderson's place. How would you see it?
That I'd either lost my nerve or had something to hide.
Precisely. Oh, by all means, resign. But for goodness sake, wait until we're on an even keel once more. I mean, don't be precipitate, Frank.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Morgan. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm back in the office now, sir. Yes, sir. I was just on my way in. Yes, I'll be with you in a moment. Yes, right away. Saunderson.
Will you do as I say, Frank?
And when we're once again back to normal and we're cruising along in calm seas, will I have the guts to do it then, do you think?
Of course you will. If you want me to, I'll promise here and now to make you resign when I think it is right that you should.
I'll hold you to that.
She's laid out 3 miles long and a couple of miles wide. They sure got one hell of a job finding out why this one tumbled from the sky.
Commander McIntosh! Over here!
Yes? One moment. Yes? What is it?
Take a look at this, sir.
And the Lord knows how many other companies are in precisely the same predicament. All twitching like mad, of course. But when you take into consideration the wind and the weather and the human error percentages in occurrences of this kind, and set all that against the fact that we can, if asked, demonstrate fully the airworthiness of our own tiny contribution, then I suggest the thing to do is to carry on as normal and simply get on with the business of running this factory. Are we agreed?
Entirely.
I mean, the thing to do is just to get on with it. Thank you for your stalwart performance in turning in at that unearthly hour this morning, Frank. It's all very much appreciated, I'm sure.
Oh, I claim small credit for that. Selfishly motivated, I'm afraid. I simply wanted to know that we were all right.
Well, quite. Perfectly understandable. But nonetheless praiseworthy for all that. Shows the right company spirit. What say you, Philip?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Frank, I talked to your son after his lecture last night. He's a splendid young man. Take a seat, won't you?
Thank you.
And I did my best to persuade him to join us when his Fulbright scholarship ends.
Yes, he told me of your conversation.
Mm-hmm. And will he, do you think? Join us? The best I could manage to make him commit himself to was thinking about it.
His research is ongoing. He has various offers from America and Germany that would enable him to continue.
Yes, I understand. Ah, well, world's loss, heaven's gain, as they say. We shall keep our fingers crossed and hope we'll get him one day. What say you, Philip?
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Trouble is, of course, I'm being booted rhythmically from behind to get this particular project off the ground. The chaps upstairs think scientists breed like accountants, to be hired and fired at will. A very different animal. Yes, indeed. Now, one thing's certain. I won't be bullied into appointing the wrong man. Now, I just wish there was someone to move the project forward while we're continuing the long search. See, now, if your son were only available, Frank, all things would be possible.
Might I make a suggestion, sir?
Yes, of course. Suggest away.
Well, it seems to me that what we need at this stage is an administrator. I mean, not the boffin who will ultimately be in charge of the whole affair, but a technician of the highest possible quality with a load of admin experience who could implement, augment, and generally breathe the first breaths of life into the thing.
Well, now all we need is a technician of the highest quality and ability willing to take the task on. I mean, that's almost as difficult as finding someone like Frank's son, Nigel. Oh, it's a problem.
But it occurred to me, sir, that Frank might consider doing it.
Frank?
Yeah.
What, this Frank?
You must admit, sir, he does fit the specification. With his kind of experience, who better?
Frank's head of the technical department. We can't possibly spare him.
I hardly think, gentlemen.
No. Frank could take on the admin job, and we could promote Dr. Hellman to head of department.
It'll need careful handling, by Jove. But The scheme does have a certain panache, I must admit.
Well, in what way would it need careful handling, sir?
Well, I mean, a woman in charge of industrial technology is taking women's lib a bit far, don't you think? Frank can go out there and F and B with the best of them, but Dr. Hellman...
Dr. Hellman commands the greatest possible respect from the factory floor, sir. You need have no concern as to whether or not she could control shift supervision.
Can we take it from that that you're not opposed to the idea?
On the contrary, I have a great many reservations about it. I simply want to make it quite clear that possibly at a different time and under different circumstances, Dr. Hellman would be more than able to hold down the job of head of technical department.
I see.
What objections do you have to my proposal, Frank?
Well, am I the man for such a job? Would I be able to do what you require of me? Shouldn't you be looking for a much younger man?
Would a young man have your experience of organizing and running a highly technical department?
And would I have suggested such a thing if I thought for one moment you couldn't do it?
I see it as a most splendid opportunity for you, Frank. Jolly interesting work. A substantial bump up in salary to affect your pension. And a way for you to make a first-class contribution to the company before you retire. And you're not the man to duck a challenge, are you? Of course not. No, I see quite a different problem, personally.
What might that be, sir?
Will Dr. Hellman accept the job? It's a heavy responsibility. Being a lieutenant's one thing, but being the company commander is something else.
Oh, let me put it to her. Let's find out how she reacts.
Better still, why not let Frank put it to her? Mm. If she realizes that by refusing she might well jeopardize Frank's chances of securing the job, then she'll hardly be able to refuse, will she? What do you say, Frank? Are you willing to give it a try?
You seem quite determined that I'm the man you want.
Well, of course. Well?
Very well. I'll talk it over with Dr. Hellman.
Good man. First class. Splendid. Well, off you go, my dear chap. And the very best of luck.
If you'll excuse me?
Yes, by all means. And do your very best now. We're depending on you, Frank.
I'll do my best. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Well, what do you think?
Obviously, we're home and dry, sir. What else?
You stupid child! Whatever possessed you to do such a thing?
I'm sorry, Dr. Hellman. I didn't know how important it was.
You do realize that by your irresponsibility, you've placed Mr. Morgan and myself and the entire company in a position of acute embarrassment, not to say danger. Have you the remotest idea of what might happen here?
I'm sorry, Dr. Hellman. I did ask Mr. Morgan what I should do with it.
Hey, what's all this? Tears in my department? My goodness, whatever next? Now then, what's all this about, eh?
This ridiculous girl removed a commercial works order from amongst the aircraft orders and filed it where she thought it belonged. We are in trouble, Frank, right up to the very lobes of our ears.
I asked Mr. Morgan. I told him I'd found a commercial order amongst the aircraft material, and I asked him what I should do with it, didn't I, Mr. Morgan?
Did you, Helen? When was that?
Yesterday. Yesterday afternoon. You're in here talking with Harry Anderson, and I told you I'd found some KT-608 alloy mixed up with the aircraft releases. I told you.
Yes, my dear, so you did. I'm sorry if I can't quite see what all the fuss is about. A commercial order got itself mixed up with the aircraft orders. What? Helen found it, and I told her to file it with the commercial releases. Now, what's so terribly wrong with that, for heaven's sake?
It was not a commercial works order. It was aircraft material released to a wrong specification. One glance by either of you at the customer designation would have told you that the material had been sent to McEwen Aerospace.
The manufacturers of the FJ-101.
Oh, who else, Frank? Who else?
Oh, dear God.
I'm sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. I'll never do such a thing again, I promise. Never, never, never.
Yes, all right, Helen. I'm sorry I shouted at you. It seems that it's not entirely your fault. Be a good girl and dry your eyes and run along.
Will you and Mr. Morgan get into a lot of trouble because of this?
Well, let's hope not, shall we? You all right now?
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
Well, make yourself a cup of tea. The others want to know why you've been crying. You're to tell them to mind their own business. Understand?
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
Frank, you idiot. You told that child to refile a wrongly placed works order without even looking at it. What were you thinking about?
I was busy trying to knock some sense into Harry Anderson. Helen came in and I didn't give it a second's thought. What are our options in this?
Oh, we haven't any option. The mistake has been made. We're going to have to admit it and try to recall the material and hope to God that it hasn't already been used.
But how could it possibly happen? You release all AID material. Nothing ever gets past you. How on earth did you manage to sign a commercial release note for material going to an aircraft manufacturer?
I didn't sign it, Frank. You did.
I signed it?
Here it is. See for yourself. Material released on the authority of an approved AID signatory. Signed, Frank Morgan.
But I never release aircraft material. You know that. You've signed all the aircraft releases for the past 5 years. Why should I sign this one?
It's dated the 17th of June last. I was on holiday in France.
This is the nightmare we live with every moment of our working lives, isn't it?
Yes, Frank, it is. This is why we can't afford to relax for one single moment. If we do, then something like this happens.
Minutes ago, Saunderson offered me a new job. I was to leave technical and you were to become head of department.
Frank, Frank, why did you have to make a mistake and now of all times?
Come on, let's get it over with. Maitland must be told. Vital moments are wasting. Will you come in with me, Rosemary?
Yes, yes, of course.
Hell's teeth, Frank! How could you possibly do such a thing?
I can only imagine that this particular release came through amongst the normal daily aircraft releases. I signed it without seeing it. Must have done.
You signed it without looking at it, you mean? Have you reported this to the aircraft inspection people?
No, not yet. This only came to light a few moments ago.
And what was the material we sent them?
KT-608. The right material produced to the wrong specification.
Oh. Oh, I see. Well, that must help, I suppose. Well, what do we do now?
Contact the aircraft inspection department and get the material returned to us.
And if it's already been used?
Then they will have to ground whatever aircraft the material went into.
And dismantle the damn thing? Good God, Frank, I've known for some time that you're a bit limp in the leap, but this takes the biscuit, it really does.
Could we move on this, do you think? If we're lucky and the material hasn't been used, we can get it sent back to us for further testing, and perhaps Mr. Saunderson need never be told.
Mrs. Williams, get me London 192-8000, will you?
Yes, sir. Oh, and I have an incoming call from Mr. Frank Morgan. Shall he take it in your office, sir?
Yes, put it through. A call for you on 3, Frank.
Frank Morgan.
Oh, good morning. Frank, Jones AID here.
It's Jones AID.
Say nothing.
Good morning, Mr. Jones. What can I do for you?
Well, I've had a signal from Anchorage, Frank. It's a bit worrying. The crash investigators have found rivets with their heads sheared off. They think the plane must have imploded because of rivet failure. They asked me to locate and test the material. It's your material, Frank.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Your call to London's engaged, sir.
Forget it. We have them on the other line.
Right. Frank, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Mr. Jones. Can you let me have the works order number and the batch number if you've got it?
Works order 79/6/548902. Batch 12.
Works order 79/6/548902, batch 12. Mm-hmm. Yes, all right.
Get everything ready for me, and I'll be with you this afternoon, Frank. Okay?
Yes, fine. Bye, Mr. Jones. Now, that works order wasn't amongst the material I checked last night.
Of course it wasn't. You let Helen remove it and wrongly file it yesterday afternoon. Here it is. The release you signed last June.
Well, that's it then, isn't it? We've had it in the biggest possible way. Saunderson will shoot the lot of us.
What blithering idiot raised the wrong procedure for me to sign in the first place?
Harry Anderson, it's here. Procedure raised by H. Anderson.
Oh, yes, it makes sense. If there's anyone in the technical department who could be relied upon to screw things up, it's Harry Anderson. God help our extruder program when he gets back from Trondheim. Well, if he thinks I'm going to cover up for him, he's sadly mistaken. I shall tell Mr. Jones precisely who it was who raised this procedure, and then we'll see. We'll see, all right.
Frank, you sign for the material's release. It's you they're going to blame, not Anderson.
Now is not the time for this. If we're to stand any chance at all of surviving this issue, we're going to have to put some kind of case to Jones AID, and he'll be here within the space of a few hours.
Case? What case? We've dropped the most almighty clanger, and we're going to have to accept the consequences whether we like them or not. This company is about to lose its aircraft manufacturing license. That's what's going to happen. Mrs. Williams.
Yes, sir?
Send a telex to Harry Anderson in Trondheim. He's to be back here in my office by the forenoon tomorrow. I shall want to know the reason why.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams, this is Dr. Hellman. Would you ask Gordon Harkness to come in here, please?
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
This is my office, Dr. Hellman.
It won't be for very much longer unless you take some positive action, Mr. Maitland. The one and only thing we have to hang on to is the fact that the correct material was sent. We will have to admit that it was incorrectly released, but the fact still remains that we have no reason to believe that material is anything other than perfect.
That is the whole point, surely. We can't prove it to be perfect because no batch samples were kept.
Would it help matters at all if I offered my resignation immediately?
Oh, do stop gibbering, man. If you've nothing more constructive than that to offer, then for God's sake, shut up!
I'm sorry.
Mr. Harkness is here, sir.
Send him in. What you imagine you can do about it, Dr. Hellman, remains to be seen.
You sent for me?
Yes, coming, Gordon. Close the door. Find yourself a seat.
Oh, thank you.
Well, fire away, Dr. Hellman. The ball is bouncing very firmly in your court.
Gordon, we find ourselves in the unfortunate position of being asked by the Aircraft Inspection Department to present samples for their examination and not having any samples to present them with.
Oh, nasty.
As you say, very nasty situation indeed. Inadvertently, KT-608 alloy was used against an aircraft order and it was dispatched without detection. It is an AID equivalent and there is no earthly reason why there should be anything wrong with the material. Unfortunately, we are not now in a position to prove that because no samples were kept.
I understand.
Find the cast of the material which was used. Get material control to issue you with a part coil. Take it to wire drawing and get it drawn down to the diameter called for on the works order. The shift foreman is to take whatever material he has on the machine off, and he is to produce the KT-608 for you immediately. If you meet with any opposition, come straight back to me, understood?
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
Bring the newly produced material back to the laboratory and test it to its AID specification and bring me the results the moment you have them.
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
We must have these figures within the hour, Gordon. I'm relying on you to see that we get them.
You've a great deal to do, young man. I suggest you get on with it.
Yes, sir. Excuse me.
Well, will it be enough to take the heat off, do you think?
No. Not totally. Nothing can do that. We're guilty of an irreversible mistake. Nothing that we will do can alter that fact. If the figures for the material that Gordon is producing are bang in the middle of the AID specification, it will help to assuage Jones' AID a little, I've no doubt.
And if they're not?
Then they will serve only to condemn us. It's a risk we have to take.
All this was foreseen, you know. Oh, yes. Everything that's happened was predicted by the consultants who did the job evaluation survey for us 6 months ago. They warned us that if we didn't move you away from the area of risk, Frank, then you'd end up doing something like this. Saunderson should have moved a damn sight quicker than he did instead of pussyfooting around, trying not to hurt your feelings, promoting you sideways and all that rot. Because the consultants were right, weren't they, Frank? They were bloody well right, my old son!
I've got some KT-608 bolt here that I want drawn to 0.186 millimetres diameter. Dr. Hellman says that you should stop what you're doing and put this material onto the machine immediately.
All right, I'll finish this lot. Dispatch will be through in about 45 minutes, okay?
No, it's not okay. We're involved in the air crash at Anchorage. This material is part of it. You have to do it now, Eddie. Now, straight away. Not in 45 minutes.
If you say so, Squire, if you say so. I take it you signed my scrap percentage figure, because that's what's got to happen to this lot now that I've stopped the machine. It's all scrap, a lot of it.
Eddie, I'll sign anything, just as long as you let me have this material.
What about my bloody bonus? That's what I want to know.
Yes?
You wanted to see Mr. Frank Morgan, sir. He's here.
Send him in. Close the door, Frank. Sit down. Well, now, this is a fine kettle of fish, I must say. I've heard Philip Maitland's version of the story. Perhaps now I'd better listen to yours. What precisely happened?
I signed for the release of commercial material against an aircraft order. The material is KT-608, which is an AID equivalent, but it was produced to the wrong specification and no batch samples were kept. I can offer no excuse or reason. I made a mistake, for which I'm terribly sorry.
And this material, released by you, has subsequently shown up in the wreckage of the aeroplane at Anchorage and is believed to be the cause of the aeroplane crashing. Is that correct?
It is being treated as a possibility, sir, yes.
You are aware of all the implications involved in this, Frank?
Yes, sir.
That even without the involvement of the crashed aeroplane, the mistake you made is of sufficient gravity for the Aviation Authority to withdraw our license to manufacture aircraft material in the future.
Yes, sir.
And that since 83.7% of this factory's output is for the aircraft manufacturing industry, we'll lose almost 90% of our market.
Yes.
And be left with a rummage box of bits and pieces, a few cable orders and a little anodized material intended for Woolworth's jewellery.
I'm sorry.
Well, you will no doubt be equally sorry for the 3,000 men employed here who will lose their jobs because of what you did. And very sorry indeed for the young men who died in the snows of Alaska for the want of a little of your care and attention. To say nothing of men like myself who've given the whole of their lives to building up this company, who must now see it crumble to nothing. Oh, yes, indeed, Frank. You have every reason to feel sorry. And to think that only a few brief hours ago I was considering promoting you to higher office.
I now know why you were promoting me, Mr. Sanderson. Mr. Maitland told me.
Did he indeed, and nothing lost for that. This is where I must share the blame for your disgrace. I should have seen to it that you no longer presented any threat to our security. I should have removed you years ago. If we are to convince the Aviation Authority we take as serious a view of this as they do themselves, then justice will have to be seen to be done. Under the circumstances, I've no alternative other than to suspend you from duty pending the outcome of all this. Clear your desk, Frank, and go home.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Hand over whatever it is you were doing to Dr. Hellman. Tell her she is to assume full responsibility for the technical department as from this moment. That will be all.
Yes, sir.
Ask Mr. Maitland to step in here, will you?
Yes, sir.
Braking load, 285 kilonewtons.
Cross-sectional area?
2.174 millimeters squared.
Elongation?
16% over 250 millimeters.
Right. Away you go with the next one.
Well, there you are, Frank. Well... Everything's been quite nicely so far.
Can you come into the office for a moment, Dr. Hellman? I want a word with him.
Yes, of course. Anything out of the ordinary, you can call me, all right?
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
Well, how did you get on, Miss Saunderson? You managed to avoid spilling any blood?
I've been suspended.
What?
I'm to clear my desk and go home. You're to take charge of the department as from this moment.
Oh, Frank, I am so sorry.
Don't be, Rosemary. It's no more than I deserve. The whole unfortunate business is my fault. I must be prepared to suffer the consequences.
But it isn't your fault. It's the system that's to blame. It leaves no room for human error. Everyone makes mistakes, Frank. I make mistakes. Maitland makes mistakes. Anyone who does anything at all makes mistakes. But as soon as an aeroplane hits the ground, an arrow starts to fly. And it keeps right on flying until it finds the chest of the person responsible for the accident. There has to be a victim. The industry purges itself of blame by finding the unfortunate individual who committed an unforgivable sin. He made a mistake. His corpse is exhibited in the world's press to reassure us that such a thing will never happen again. Until the next crash and the next victim... And then the next arrow starts to fly. If I hadn't been on a holiday, would it have found me this time, Frank, or Maitland, if we'd both been away? Who can say?
The sad truth is, Rosemary, if you hadn't been on holiday, then you would have picked this one up. It takes an old incompetent fool like me to let this happen.
Let me talk to Saunderson. Perhaps I can persuade him to change his mind.
Oh, I have no quarrel with Saunderson's decision. I did it. I deserve everything that's happening to me.
I don't agree. I know this is what has to happen, but that doesn't make it either right or just. I think you're getting a rotten deal. What am I going to tell Jones AID? He thinks the world of you.
You'll have to tell him the truth. It's part of the attempt to save the company from extinction, I'm afraid.
Oh, Frank. Why now, of all times? Everything was going to be so good for you.
You get back to your tensile testing, my dear. I want an hour here, sorting my papers out. Just let me do what I have to do, quietly and in my own way, and everything will be fine. Though how one begins to sort out the accumulation of 40 long and hard-fought years, I do not know.
Usually, whatever happens along the way, there always seems to be something that I can do, some counterblow to be struck. Here I am, quite powerless to help you, Frank, and it breaks my heart. I'd give anything at all to make it right for you. I really would.
I know you would, my dear, and I thank you for it. But now I really must get on. I don't want to be here when Jones AID arrives.
Is there anything you want? Anything I can get you?
No, I have everything I need. You run along. You have a great deal to attend to.
You sure you'll be all right?
Yes, quite sure. You go along. I'll come and say goodbye before I leave.
There'll be one hell of a row when the rest of the lab finds out what it is they've done to you. I can promise you that. See you, Frank.
The problem is, of course, where does one begin?
Is that you, Frank?
Yes, my dear, it's me.
What on earth are you doing home at this hour of the day, laden with books and papers? It is Wednesday, of course, you do realise that.
Wednesday?
My Women's Aid meeting, here, every Wednesday afternoon. Oh, well, you just have to keep out of the way, that's all. If you want a cup of coffee, I'm just baking Nigel one. He's in the study.
Right, I'll be in with him. Hello, Nigel.
Oh, what are you doing here? Got the afternoon off, have we?
Well, things were rather quiet this afternoon, so I thought I'd come home and do a little reading, as you suggested.
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't. That won't do at all.
Is something wrong?
I've had my knuckles wrapped and been sent home from school. The head is very cross with me, I'm afraid.
Father?
The aeroplane that crashed last night. Huh? They found faulty rivets. It was our material. It was produced to an incorrect specification. I signed the release note. 7 men died, Nigel, and I am to blame.
How could such a thing happen? Didn't you recognize a wrong procedure?
I didn't read it. I couldn't have done. I simply signed the damn thing, and now 7 young men are dead because of it. Oh, why didn't I resign when I knew I should have done? Why, Nigel, why?
They have positively identified the rivets as being the cause of the aircraft crashing.
Well, not yet, but they soon will. No samples were kept. We can't prove anything to the contrary. It'll be all too easy to blame us now.
Oh, no, it damn well won't. I'll call Professor Townsend right now. Get permission to use the test equipment in the lab at Oxford. No one's going to pin anything on you if it's not your fault.
That won't be necessary. I do the men involved a great disservice by suggesting that such a thing could happen. The truth will out, my boy. Of that you need have no fear. In the meanwhile, I must stand with my face to the wall, wearing my dunce's cap, that's all. What am I going to tell your mother?
Would you like me to tell her?
No, I must do it. It's all part of the pattern of crime and punishment. Poor Judith. She's always longed to be as proud of me as she is of you. I could never quite live up to the image of me she created for herself. And now this final act of iconoclasm. She'll never forgive me. What on earth am I going to say to her?
Aren't such vitally important documents double-signed? Surely to God you don't rely on one man's signature.
Mine was the second signature, Nigel. I passed a mistake a man called Anderson had made. Hush, not now.
Here's your coffee. Now, try not to play the record player this afternoon, Nigel, and if you must wander about, Frank, don't wander into the sitting room. The meeting will be over about 4 o'clock. After that, you can make as much noise as you like and wander whatever you will. In the meantime, be good boys. Your father has brought work home, Nigel. Don't deprive him of his free time by sitting talking to him.
When will you tell her?
Not today. Things have to belong to you before you can talk about them with any meaning. I don't own this one yet. God knows what will happen when the truth finally hits me.
Mummy's very fond of you, you know, despite her gorse-bush exterior.
So fond, in fact, that she always forgets that I don't like sugar in my coffee.
All the tensile strength results and the proof stress figures are precisely where they should be. We're doing a microsection to look at the grain boundaries, and then everything will be complete.
What you are saying, Dr. Hellman, is that this material is sound?
Absolutely sound.
If only. If only Frank had picked it up! Harry Anderson is the real villain of this piece. Frank made a mistake, yes, but Anderson sat down and worked out a whole wrong procedure. I'm going to fire him so fast that he'll go into orbit.
What are our chances of getting away with this, do you think?
Oh, how can we get away with it? The material was wrongly produced.
Is there anything to prevent us offering the material we've just tested as the material we should have kept?
There is a great danger in that, of course.
What's that, Dr. Hellman?
Well, only 1 in 10 coils is tested on a commercial release. This means that 9 out of 10 of the coils Frank released were not looked at by the lab. If any one or more of those 9 coils are faulty and are proved to be the reason for the rivet failures, then the attempted cover-up would automatically be discovered. Mm. Not only would the company lose its aircraft license, the perpetrators of the cover-up would face criminal charges.
Well, that puts that very firmly out of the question, doesn't it?
There is an incoming call for Mr. Jones of the Aircraft Inspection Department, sir.
Well, he hasn't arrived yet. We're expecting him any moment. Will you take the caller's number? We'll get him to ring back.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, one moment. It's for you, Rosemary.
Thanks. Yes, Helen? Yes, sir.
Oh, we'll need another chair for Mr. Steve. Jones.
Yes, sir.
I have looked at the graph in the largest scale of 10 to 1. I belong to the dark
room. Should be here in a moment now.
The microsections are perfect.
Well, of course. What else? Apart from the fact that Frank finds us into oblivion, everything's lovely.
Mr. Jones of the Aircraft Inspection Department is here, sir.
Well, show him in. Look, leave this to me, right? Let me do the talking.
Mr. Jones, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Crawford. Coffee in 5 minutes?
Certainly, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones.
Good afternoon.
Very nice to see you. Do sit down.
Thank you.
You know Dr. Hellman, Mr. Maitland, of course.
Indeed, we're old friends. Maitland, Dr. Hellman, nice to see you.
Thank you.
Well, it's a sad and unhappy business, Mr. Jones. It's an experience we could all do without.
You know, I've been puzzling my brains out all the way down here. You know how it is when things don't just seem right. I talked to Frank first thing this morning. He told me he'd been up half the night running retests and that everything was fine. Something was wrong. Nagging at the back of my mind was the idea that something was wrong. A feeling. When you've been in this game as long as I have, you get intuitive flashes, and I simply knew that something was wrong.
Yes, well, full credit your intuition, Mr. Jones. We've had to send Frank...
Excuse me, Mr. Saunderson.
Yes, Mrs. Crawford, what is it?
There was a message for Mr. Jones to call his office. Would you like me to get that number now, sir?
Shortly before you arrive, Mr. Jones, your office called. You ought to call them back, please.
Oh, I've radio telephone in my car. They've already reached me. They thought I'd be here, and that's why they called here, first of all.
Right. It's all right, Mrs. Crawford. Mr. Jones has already spoken to his office.
Yes, sir.
That's why I was anxious that Frank should be here. We mustn't deprive the old lad of his moment of triumph, must we?
Triumph?
Oh, the aeroplane was sabotaged, Mr. Maitland.
What?
Yes. The crash investigators found bomb fragments amongst the wreckage this morning. Your rivets didn't fail. They had the heads blown off.
Sabotage?
That's what my office was so anxious to tell me, so I could tell you good people you have nothing to worry about. That's what I found so puzzling as I drove down here. Frank had said that everything was in order. Well, you know Frank, he never makes a mistake. Something was wrong, all right, and this was it. The plane was blown up by someone who probably objects to us trading with Red China. Nothing to do with Frank's rivets. Where is he? Uh, Can we get him in here?
He went home. At lunchtime, he was a little under the weather, so I packed him off home, didn't I, Philip?
Yes. Yes, you did indeed. He went quite green, poor old chap. Looked awful.
The rivets in question, Mr. Jones.
Yes, Dr. Hellman.
Did that particular works order all go into making that one aeroplane, or is there more of the material elsewhere?
Oh, the material 548902 batch 12 all went into this one aircraft. Scattered over several miles of Alaskan hillside. You'll hear no more of it.
Thank you.
Well, now, this is good news. What a pity old Frank isn't here to hear it. Not that this diminishes the tragedy, one jot, of course, but, well, we'd be less than human if we didn't admit to a sense of relief at the knowledge we in no way contributed to the event.
Indeed, I quite understand. Well, now, this is one journey I'm pleased to see produce a negative result. Look, I see no point in going through the motions of reappraisal tests that Frank's already done, do you?
None at all, my dear chap, none at all. A fine gesture to demonstrate your faith in the man.
Indeed. Well, give him my best. Tell him I hope he'll be fit again soon. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be on my way. I'm so glad that it's worked out all right for you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jones, for all your help and fine consideration. Our world would be a poorer place without you.
Are you ready for coffee now, sir?
A cup of coffee, Mr. Jones, and help you on your way.
Well, thank you. It's very nice of you, Mr. Saunderson.
Why don't you go and telephone Frank, Dr. Hellman? I'm sure he'd be terribly interested in all of this, don't you think?
Yes, right. Yes. If you'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Yeah, then tell him to hurry back, so he can get on with organising our new experimental department for us. We're promoting Frank, you see, in recognition of his long years of faithful work, Mr. Jones. Isn't that splendid?
Well, I'm delighted to hear it. No one deserves it more than Frank.
Ah, coffee. How very welcome.
Boswell 4576, Nigel Morgan speaking. Oh, one moment, Dr. Hellman. He's in the study. I'll call him. Dad! Telephone!
Who is it, dear?
It's Dr. Hellman for Dad. He's in the study. Can't hear me.
Oh, well, I'll call him.
One moment, Dr. Hellman. Mother's going to call him. Won't give you a minute. Oh,
Frank?
No, I'm fine, thank you. Yes.
Dr. Hellman's on the telephone.
Oh, very nice of you to say, sir.
Yes, Frank? Why have you locked the door, dear?
Just a moment, Dr. Hellman. What is it, Mother?
Oh, your father's locked the study door and he's not answering. Frank, open the door, dear. Dr. Hellman wants to speak to you. Frank?
Here, let me do it. Dad? Dad, open the door, old chap.
Frank! Open the door! Frank, please! Please open
Dad?
The door!
Flight of the Arrow by Michael Davis. Frank Morgan was played by John Bott. Dr. Hellman, Shirley Dixon. Saunderson, Peter Jeffrey. And Philip Maitland, Clifford Norgate. Harry Anderson, Jim McManus. Gordon Harkness, Michael McStay. Helen and Mrs. Crawford, Tammy Ustinov. And Judith, Eva Stewart. Nigel, Gareth Armstrong. Jones, David Graham. Mrs. Williams, Mary Claire Nash. And pilot, John Church. Ground control, Philip Voss. Tower control 1, Gordon Dulieu. Tower control 2, Gordon Reed. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.
Peter Jeffrey is a National Theatre player. A little later tonight, just before midnight, takes us to the seaside in Colin Finbow's Last Week in August.
All right, all right. There. It's lamb today. Did you like the bread? Had the dippings of the soup on that, did. Now for your main course. Lamb. New Zealand. You'll have to leave the bits with the mint sauce if you don't like them. Children don't like the mint sauce much. They go more for tomato. Oh, yuck. Somebody left a bit of lean there. Nice bit of lean. Probably that young woman from Shifnal. She was a poor eater.
Doris Hare plays Doris, a seaside landlady, in Last Week in August, tonight at 11:45. Well, now here's the weather forecast for tomorrow. Most districts will have a dry day with bright or sunny periods, any overnight fog patches soon clearing. However, southwestern districts of England may be more cloudy at times, whilst in Cornwall and the Channel Islands a little rain is possible. It will become rather windy in the west. After a cold start with ground frost in many areas, it will become generally rather warm. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday, mostly dry at first, but becoming more changeable with occasional rain, especially in the north and west. It will continue rather warm. And that's the weather. Radio 4.
BBC Radio Newsroom, this is John Marsh with the 10 o'clock news. Nearly 40 people are being questioned by the police after the seizure in East London of cannabis, which is now said to be worth well over £1 million. The Russians, in another sharp attack on Mrs. Thatcher, say she's been trying to wear Winston Churchill's trousers, and they don't fit. More than 1,300 women in Spain, including actresses, doctors and politicians, have signed a document admitting that they've had abortions. The chairman of BL has called on the wives and families of the workers to urge them to accept the plans for streamlining the company. The talks to try to save the Times have been going on all day, and the two sides are prepared to go on all night if necessary. There have been more arrests today in connection with Operation Wrecker, the joint investigation by police and customs officers into drug smuggling. A total of 37 people have been detained since yesterday when a container lorry loaded with cannabis was seized in East London. It's now thought the cannabis could be worth well in excess of the £1 million first estimated. Inquiries are also continuing into the murder of the customs officer who was shot in the raid. Scotland Yard say a man is still being held for questioning. Gerald Butt has been following the latest development.
Inquiries by both police and customs officials are continuing on what's described as the tag end of Operation Wrecker. Most of those detained were picked up at addresses in Hampshire, Surrey, Kent and London and are being questioned by customs investigators.